I suppose recently some of you have paid attention to the news that NASA's new space telescope, named James Webb Space Telescope, has begun to provide really dazzling pictures of galaxies in the, what we could call, the ultra-distant universe. I'd like to reflect on galaxies a little bit. A galaxy like ours, which is the Milky Way galaxy, may contain 100,000 million stars. So you've digested that number right away. You know exactly what I'm talking about, right? Well, that's, if you put a 1 down and then add 11 zeros, that's that's 100,000 million stars. Now, the Milky Way galaxy is about 100,000 light years across. I know this is hard to follow, but it's so overwhelming, I just have to keep talking about it and thinking about it, the wonder of it all. Now, 100,000 light years across. A light year is the distance a beam of light will travel in 365 days, an Earth year. And that equates to approximately 6 trillion miles. Now, you're all digesting all of this. Light travels at 186,000 miles per second. So if you took your little wand and pointed a light beam at the moon, that light would get there in just a little over 1 second. You know, we see the sun out 93 million miles away, and it takes about 7 minutes for light to get to us. So the light that we're seeing of the sun isn't the actual sun. It's rather light that was 7 or 8 minutes old. Now, based on some of the things they've been talking about, the James Webb Space Telescope, and I have to go back a little bit because over the years I've talked about the magnitude of God's creation in sermons and in other venues. And what impresses me now is that as the, not just the decades, but as the years go by, they keep finding more and more. So the estimate, what they had gathered from the space telescope, that our observable universe now extends, and it doesn't encompass all that's there, it's just what we can see. It extends tens of billions of light years in all directions, containing so many galaxies that we really struggle to come up with a number, but we have, and as of today, 2 trillion galaxies should exist within our observable universe. And brethren, all of this has been created. It's not there just because of the methodology of how it was created or how it came into being, but it specifically was created by God. And the Creator God says this. I'd like to now bring it a little closer to the moment that I'm in here. Isaiah 40, verses 25 and 26. Just to quote a couple things from God, the Creator, and what He challenges us to do. And that's why I was taking the time to go through these fantastic numbers that we can't grasp, but we surely have to be impressed by them. Isaiah 40 and verse 25, "To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high," which is, in a sense, what we were doing, "and see who has created these things, who brings out their hosts by number. He calls them all by name." Now, stop for a moment and digest that. He calls them all by name. They're not accidents floating out in the ether. Rather, they're part of His great realm that He controls. "By the greatness of His might and the strength of His power, Not one is missing. He said, no, I didn't. Oh, I forgot one. I skipped one. No, that's not what God is saying here. He says, not one is missing. Isaiah 46 and verse 9. He says, remember the former things of old. Understand what you can see in this unending, seemingly almost an endless universe. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. We as Christians, brethren, can speak to God, this Creator God, in prayer. Through the name of Jesus Christ, we actually have access to God the Father. But there is also God the Son, who is known as Jesus Christ. So, with this background, I ask the question again of my title. What do you say to God, to this God of such awesome power? I mean, we would probably be nervous and tongue-tied a little bit if we came before a world leader and had to address them, but this is far more important, and yet it's totally something that we can do because of what Jesus Christ and the Father have done for us. Now, Jesus gave us some instructions in this regard, and I want to address one of his key points, which we'll find in Luke 11, verses 1 through 2, to just give it a little context here. Of course, this is talking about the model prayer when his disciples came to him and says, well, Master, how do we talk to God? But they said, how do we pray? And would you teach us to pray? So Luke 11, verse 1, now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. It's something that you need to pay attention to based on just what the context of this particular verse is saying. It's a teachable thing to learn to pray. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now I'm just going to stop there in this model prayer. One aspect from what Jesus taught is that we should hallow God as Jesus taught. He said, as one of the introductory things, hallowed be your name. We say that to God. Yeah, there's two examples of where the sample prayer is presented in the New Testament, Luke 11, 2 and Matthew 6, 9, and then the subsequent verses. Now, about the word hallowed. Hallowed is translated from the Greek word Hagiado, kind of, you see how good I am in my Greek here, but Hagiado. But basically, the meaning is holy. To be holy is to be exalted or worthy of complete devotion as one perfect in goodness and uprightness or righteousness. Again, talking about the word hallowed. How do we hallow God? Well, hallowing God is worshiping God and submitting to His will. When we praise God, we are honoring and glorifying Him. So if we're going to talk to God, what it gets down to is we need to hallow Him, His name, His very being. We need to have that concept deep within us so that we do find audience with God and so that He does listen to us. It's one point of many that we should come to. Take time to reflect that you and I mean, this applies to both of us, all of us, I should say, not just both. Reflect on the fact that we are speaking to God, the Creator. Think back about all of this magnificent glory that's in His heaven. Remember Isaiah 40 and verse 25, or 26 says, lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. Keep that in mind as you come before God in prayer, and it can, whether you're speaking out loud or meditating or just in your mind. Now, you can fill in the blanks, but the Bible itself overflows with reasons for praising God. And I'd like to touch on a couple as I have time here. First Chronicles 29 is an example from David, who is such a superb example of one who praised God. His writings incorporate the words praise the Lord and over, and it's he orchestrates it into psalms and even words that are sung in worship of God. First Chronicles 29, verses 10 through 13. Look at this example of David talking to God. Therefore, David blessed the Lord before all the assembly, and David said, and he's speaking in a public way, but he's speaking to God, blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. He's talking about the greatness of God. That's how you talk to God. You reflect on his greatness. It's not so much just bringing your want list. Of course, that happens. You bring your concerns on how you're living, and you come to God with it. I'd like to also turn to John 17, verses 1 through 5, to give the example of Jesus Christ and what he said to God. Just before he was sacrificed. John 17, verse 1. Jesus spoke these words. Here he is speaking to God, and they're recorded for us. Lift up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. All part of the work of this magnificent creation, which involves bringing sons and daughters into this glorious kingdom, but not only this one, the future one that God will make. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with a glory which I had with you before the world was. Part of that glory was that he was the creative, the one who created under the will of God, but it was through him that all things that are created were created. So look up, brethren, when it comes time to your prayer. Think about the magnificence of God from the standpoint of his creation, and glorify God for what he has done. We know from Scripture that he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth, and we can only begin to imagine the magnitude and the majesty of what that will be like. But above all things, go to God, talk to him. Remember, pray to God, talk to him.